T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Mass shooting, West St. Paul bar, one dead, 14 other injured, 3 arrested, and the mayor of the city, St. Paul, Melvin Carter, is kind enough to join us. Melvin, I appreciate your time, and I know your schedule is extraordinarily busy. What information can you share with our audience this afternoon that is new information that you and your team have learned over the last few hours? Is there anything else you can give us?
Thank you for having me on. This is obviously one of the most heartbreaking things that a community can go through. We see communities have incidents like this around the country, and it's always sad. It's always unacceptable. To feel it this close to home like we did this weekend is just really heartbreaking. I know that our police department has released the information as they've been able to, as the information has become available for release. And I'll tell you, among other things, while I am just, our whole community is heartbroken to have 15 people injured by gunfire all at the same time, to have a loss of a life of a young lady who, by all accounts, seems to have just been a really delightful young lady in our community, is just heartbreaking. And, I'm really proud of the police officers, the medics who showed up right away, who triaged the scene for us, who worked hard to ensure that we got suspects in custody the following day. And I know our whole community is going to be listening really closely to exactly that question you just asked. We need a lot more answers to figure out how in the world something like this could happen in our hometown.
Markeisha Wiley is the individual who died. She's 27. Have you had a chance to speak to her family or anybody close to her?
I've reached out to her family and haven't heard back yet. We're, reaching out again here. Obviously, they're in a busy time and a hectic time in their lives. And so can't imagine just the trauma of having to go through what they're going through just all of a sudden in that way. And you take Markeisha Wiley and add 14 other families impacted by this gunfire. You add all of the communities that, all of the people in community who are traumatized by it, the business owners on West 7th. It would be impossible to overstate the impacts this incident has had on our entire community.
I want to read actually a quote for you from Dave Cassetta, who you know well, longtime owner of Cassetta's, which is right there. Mm-hmm. And he has this to say in the Star Tribune story. 7th Street has become a lot more dangerous lately. There have been a lot of issues more than ever, and that's pretty much the way it's been for over a year. I don't know the circumstances of Street, but it's been a common theme lately. How aware were you of that, and what was done to respond to that?
In the pandemic, we, like cities across the country, saw more people laid off their jobs than ever, more people unemployed than ever, more people homeless than ever, more people experiencing social isolation than ever. And that has changed the way we've had to support our community members. I know a lot of your listeners remember a year ago and, last summer when, we went from having about 29 tents in our city to having nearly 400, different people across our city camped out in tents. We've been able to fight that number back down and bring that number back down to pre-pandemic levels. But again, we know that there are concerns all over the country, all over the planet, as a result of the historic events that we've been through, many of which the Twin Cities has been the epicenter of. We've been working very closely with those business owners. We actually, several weeks ago, approved $1 million in police overtime just for that area to respond to some kind of quality of life type of issues that we were having there. You know, I think it would be it would defy any of the data and real information that we have to suggest that anything like what happened on Saturday had happened in that area before that. And, you know, part of the reason I think that we're all so aghast, that we're all so disgusted, that we're all so shocked by what happened on Saturday night is an underlying understanding that this is not what we're used to, that this is strange and unusual for our community, and we're just not the type of city that's willing to accept things like violence like this happening right here in our hometown.
So I want to play for you a soundbite from Bob Fletcher, the sheriff of Ramsey County, who was on this show about an hour ago about you and the amount of police in the area. Go ahead, Chris.
The mayor, I think, is a good person. But he knows absolutely nothing about law enforcement, public safety, and he shouldn't pretend to. He should just take the advice of professionals in the field and then evaluate that advice, but he shouldn't pretend to be an expert on things that he's not. None of us should.
He obviously has been a part of St. Paul and Ramsey County for a long, long time, going back to 1977. By the way, you don't have to agree with him. Right. But you also have your police chief, Todd Exto, who you have a good professional relationship with, who's pushed back at you saying that you don't have enough of a police force in St. Paul. When you see an incident like Saturday night, when you hear of these other reports, are they right? Do you need more police officers in St. Paul?
Listen, Sheriff Fletcher, you're right, has been around St. Paul for a really long time. Sadly, he's been around some of the ugliest incidents that have happened regarding law enforcement, and he ends up being the gatekeeper who seems to be pushing back while the rest of the world is saying we have to evolve our public safety and policing strategies. He seems to be the gatekeeper who's trying to defend the old way of doing business. We know that sheriffs and civil rights have a very long history that haven't always been great. It sounds from that clip as though the sheriff has forgotten that he actually is an elected law enforcement officer. So if he thinks that there's something that law enforcement could have done to prevent what happened on Saturday, I imagine the first question would be, where in the world was he and why didn't he do those things?
In fact, I did ask him that. Let me just respond to that, Melvin. I'll let you jump in. Yeah.
Okay.
He said he doesn't have the numbers that the St. Paul Police Department has. Because I think that's a fair point. He said if he had the numbers, he would do it. Is that valid?
Do what?
He would have had more on Ramsey County.
Yeah. Here's the thing. On Saturday night, our officers showed up right away when it happened. People called 911 right away. Our officers showed up right away. They triaged the scene. They had suspects in custody the very next morning. It is not clear to me, short of martial law where we put a police officer in every single business, it is not clear to me, and I have never heard the sheriff or anybody else make it clear, how 100 or 1,000 police officers would have changed what happened on Saturday night. This is why we are saying we have to be much more proactive. Our police officers do an incredible job of responding when there's an emergency and helping our community members out in a crisis. And to say that this happened because of some lack of capacity or because of something our officers didn't or couldn't do is an insult to our officers, not to me, and I'm not prepared to accept that going forward. This is exactly why we're saying we have to shift and create a comprehensive and proactive public safety model that doesn't wait until after something happens, after someone calls 911, but that takes proactive measures to help reduce the number of times we have to call 911 in the first place. That's exactly what we're doing, and that's exactly how we've done this. And again, this particular instance happened in a place that we've already approved $1 million in police overtime. We've already boosted police presence there. And what this demonstrates beyond a shadow of a doubt is that we put too much on our officers' head when we expect them to be able to solve all of our problems by themselves. That's why we're building the supports around them.
I think those are all fair points. Remind folks that Mayor Carter, Melvin Carter, is with us. We're talking about the devastating night in St. Paul, right near the X. One individual, Markeisha Wiley, dead, 14 other injured. So let's take Bob Fletcher out of it, and let's acknowledge that there can be proactive ways and different ways to look at it. and just on Todd Axtell, who you work with. But Todd Axtell is also saying he wants more police officers. And I'm not talking just about Saturday night, okay? Because you're right. I don't know how we would have an officer at every single location to stop everything. No city of any size could do
it. Did you ask Sheriff what he was suggesting should happen, or was it just rhetoric?
No, I was specific in the comments, including directly saying, okay, why weren't you there? And he said, we don't have enough people. But let me ask you about your own police head, Todd Axtell. He also, Melvin, is asking for more police officers. Does he have a valid point?
I think absolutely he has a valid point. I think one of the things that makes me different than everybody else in this conversation is that I have to make sure we have officer capacity to respond in an emergency and to do exactly what they did this weekend really, really well. I have to make sure that our bridges and our streets hold up. I have to make sure that, et cetera, our buildings stay standing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we, like your viewers, like your listeners, family budgets, we have to do a number of things. We can't only do one thing. Every year as mayor, our police department has gotten a budget increase. Every single year as mayor, our police department has led the city in departments in new spending. This year, the budget I have in front of the city council increases the city budget, the police department budget, by, I think, $4 million, which is far more than any other city department. Of course, the chief wants $3 million on top of that. The debate right now is that the chief wants $7 million instead of $4 million. And I'll tell you, we're in the middle of a crisis. We're in the middle of a pandemic, and we're not all able to afford all of the things that we all want. We are investing in policing. As a matter of fact, I believe this week, our largest police academy in city's history is starting their academy this week. So we are doing those things. They're not the only things that we're doing. And unfortunately, some of the folks who are used to the old ways of policing, the old ways of public safety, think every time we say we need to invest in some community support models, we need to invest in interventions, we need to invest in proactive placemaking strategies to make our spaces more safe before anyone ever has to call 911 in the first place. Sadly, there are folks who, I think, take that as an anti-police position, when in fact, I think no one would benefit from that type of approach more than the hardworking men and women of our St. Paul Police Department.
When will the public learn more about what did happen, and do you expect the charges to be announced in the next couple hours?
You know, those are all questions for the county attorney. Those are all questions for the police department. I will tell you that there are very few departments on the planet, certainly in the country, that do a better job than the St. Paul Police Department at holding someone accountable when there's been a loss of life. Our solvability rate is always above 80-90% compared to, I think, 50-60% in national averages. So one thing our police department does exceptionally well is hold people accountable when they take a life in our community, and I expect that we'll see that where this is concerned as well.
I will finish with this, and I'll let you go, and I appreciate you coming on. For folks who love the truck park, who love Casetas, who love Tom Reed's, who are planning on just going there on off nights, not wild nights or wild nights or concert nights, or they live in St. Paul or love St. Paul, should they feel like that area is safe and this, as we all acknowledge, is a horrible, horrible tragedy? Or should they have concerns about that area right now?
Well, I'll tell you what, if they come down there for a hockey game, or if they come down there just to grab something to eat for their family, they're likely to bump into me and my family down there, because that's a place where my wife and I, where my children and I are all the time, and we'll continue to be there all the time. And when we are, like I do every time, we will high five and thank the officers who are down there making sure that our community is safe, stable, and secure. And we will cheer for our home team, the Wild and the Saints, and all of our community members, and continue to have a great time like we have. It was very few things more terrible, more horrible than what we experienced this weekend. We know that it was horrible. We know that it was devastating. And we know that we have work to do as a community, not just to respond to the fact. And I'll tell you, part of this conversation has to be about why in the world it's so easy for so many people who shouldn't have guns to get guns in the first place. Sadly, some of the same legislators who are the hurdles, who are creating the blocks to make it more difficult for people to get their hands on a gun, are the same ones this week who love to try to troll St. Paul on social media, try to troll Minneapolis on social media when gun violence occurs. And so our work is about working with, partnering with our police officers. Our work is about partnering with our community members, nonprofit organizations, and the moms and grandmothers who can tell our young people and tell people in our community, put that gun down or call 911 when they see something that shouldn't be happening. But at some point in time, we have to be able to have a conversation in the state capitol about the common sense gun legislation that Minnesotans overwhelmingly agree on, but continues to be a controversy in our state capitol.
Do we know if illegal guns were used Saturday night?
We don't know that. I don't have that information yet. What we do know is that guns are just far too accessible to far too many people, and we have experienced in St. Paul, we have experienced in Minnesota, and we've experienced all across the country because we have this inability to pass common sense gun control legislation that we just see loss of life after loss of life after loss of life. If it was a product, if it was a medicine, if it was anything else that was creating so much loss of life in our country, we would have taken action around it. We need to take action around how accessible guns are in our community and do something about that, or else we'll continue to be chasing our tail in St. Paul and all around the country.
Thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.